and welcome to Focus AF, a brand new podcast brought to you by Advocacy Focus. I'm your host, Carolina. Our podcast aims to provide listeners with information on current topics in an informal conversational format. Each episode will be dedicated to raising awareness and understanding of mental health and the impact that it has on our communities. We will also explore different areas of advocacy from a lived experience and professional lenses. Today we'll be talking about trauma and post-traumatic stress disorder, and to help us better understand these topics we are joined by Chief Executive Officer of Connected, Gemma Margeson. Hello, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm really excited for this conversation. So let's start with telling us a little bit more about Connected.
Yeah, so Connected is a staff training and development company. So we focus on creating resilient, confident and healthy employees. And we do this through group training and then one-to-one coaching for people that need a little extra support.
Excellent. And you were just telling me before we start recording that you've got some interesting collaborations coming up. So we'll be looking forward to seeing those come to fruition. I hear you've also written a book. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the book's also called Connected. So Connected, the 12 Ways of Wellbeing for a Holistically Healthy Life. And we brought this out in October 2021. And it was a real sort of collaborative effort. So I interviewed and spoke to I think 45 practitioners across 12 different areas of well-being, everything from physical health to finances to spiritual well-being, for kind of three reasons, really. The first was to help promote people that were doing fantastic work out in the community. The second was to help the readers to help themselves. And the third was to bring those two communities together. So all of the contributors have published their contact details. So it's a bit of a self-help book cross wellbeing directory, just so that people have got information there and they can get extra support if they need it.
Awesome. Sounds awesome. And I hear there's a second book coming.
Well, yeah, so there's potentially another four.
Four books coming.
So the model that I use around resilience has four parts to it, and the aim really is to bring out a bit of an in-depth look at each of those four parts. So there's a lot of work to be done there.
Excellent. And you've got your doctorate as well.
Yeah.
Busy woman.
So I started this back in 2019, and that is what it's in coaching and mentoring, and so that's what kind of sparked my love for coaching. I have had a little bit of time off this year just as we've grown the business, but back in January to continue on with it. So we're a good few years away from being Dr. Gemma, but I'm sure it'll be worth it in the end.
Yeah, no, it sounds really good. And it's Oxford you're studying?
Brooks, yeah.
Yeah, awesome, good stuff. So we're talking about trauma and PTSD. Tell us a little bit about what trauma is.
So trauma is an emotional response to something bad that has happened. So it could be anything that kind of makes you uncomfortable or frightened or takes you really far out of your comfort zone. And I think there's the sort of distinguishing factor between experiencing trauma and PTSD. I like to explain it a little bit like an elastic band. So we experience trauma, we all experience difficulties in our lives. The elastic band sort of stretches, you have that fight or flight mode. And then eventually when you understand that you're safe, your elastic band comes back to its normal shape and size and we kind of just move on with our lives. PTSD is almost sort of stretching that elastic band to the point where it breaks and you can't reduce your emotional response. You're stuck at that high alert stage all the time. And so that's kind of the differences between those two.
Excellent, thank you for that. I really like that sort of analogy of the elastic band. I always find it helpful to have those visuals. In therapy, we use the seesaw analogy a lot, looking at, you know, what I'm putting on one side of the seesaw and what I'm doing on the other side to balance myself. So I think that's quite a good visual for our listeners to kind of think about as we go through our conversation today. Thank you for that. So we're going to be looking at trauma and PTSD in the context of the workplace. What first fueled your passion for supporting people experiencing trauma or PTSD within workplace settings?
Yeah, so it all came from my own personal experience. I was sort of diagnosed with mild PTSD in 2015 after sort of 9 months of experiencing all of these symptoms, not knowing what it was, being afraid, being ashamed, and not sort of knowing how to express how I was feeling. And it wasn't until that sort of that point in the middle of 2015 where I was just, I just felt so lost and so broken. I was shaking, I was having migraines, I was having flashbacks, although I didn't sort of know that's what they were at the time. And I went to my GP and I just cried. And, you know, she was absolutely fantastic. She really, really listened to me. And then as I have sort of gone through my recovery journey, I did a lot of therapy, a lot of counselling, and then kind of got to the end of that and had really sort of made peace with my experience and what had happened, and wanted to be able to move forward without going back and talking over and over again about what had happened. And I wasn't sure how to do that. And that's where I kind of, without realizing it, ended up coaching myself into doing some of the things that I wanted to be able to do, like driving again, getting on a plane, even things like going to the cinema were really difficult for me. And as this kind of developed, I realized that actually I could have prevented my own trauma if I'd have understood some of the things around resilience and self-care that I know now. And so this has been one of the kind of fueling things behind supporting people who are already struggling with PTSD and how they can help themselves to recover, but then also working in this resilience space of actually how can we prevent some of this from happening. And so, yeah, it all kind of stems from that personal experience.
I think it's really interesting, the concept of resilience, isn't it? Because it can get such a bad rep sometimes, because people can, you know, some people talk about resilience as almost a victim blaming thing, like, oh, you know, you wouldn't be struggling if you just were more resilient. And yes, there's some truth to it. Like you said, if you do have those coping strategies in place, if you've got that self-care in place, then yeah, you are going to be more resilient and your elastic band is going to stretch that bit further. But it's not always that easy, is it? And you mentioned as well some of the symptoms that you experience in the workplace, your migraines, flashbacks. Are those quite common symptoms that employees might experience?
Yeah, so things like hypertension, so your muscles being very tight, feeling very sort of stressed. Hyperarousal, so being very jumpy, being very aware of everything that's going on around you, that kind of danger spotting sort of sensation. And then also these sort of flashbacks, being taken back to moments in time that link to the trauma that you experienced. So one of the big triggers for me was looking in a mirror. So I found that was one of the triggers for my flashbacks, and I had to learn sort of how to manage that. So they're some of the key symptoms.
It sounds like some of those symptoms could be quite difficult to manage. Actually, I can think, you know, if you're in a busy office environment sort of thing, that could be quite challenging because, you know, you've got people walking around all the time and you might be sat at a desk for quite prolonged periods of time, so I can imagine that being quite challenging. And obviously you mentioned something like, you know, the mirrors, looking in a mirror. I guess, you know, everyone's got a mirror at home. So how did you manage that within your workplace setting and within your home as well?
Yeah, so it sort of took me a long time to kind of join the dots together with some of these things. In my last place of work, I sat on the corner of the desk with the kitchen behind me. So there were people coming and going all the time. It was noisy. I couldn't see if people were walking towards me. And so people would just like appear beside me and I'd jump out of my skin. And people would feel really bad. And it wasn't until I'd sort of had these discussions with a counsellor that I realised that was one of the big difficulties for me in the workplace. And so my boss was great and she moved me. So I was in the corner at the back of the room. So literally I could see everything that was going on around me, which was really helpful. And it also kind of quietened that space around me, which helped with some of the migraines as well. I think from a mirror perspective and that personal side, it was just understanding what was happening. And when I sort of caught myself starting to feel, I don't know if we've got any Harry Potter fans out there, but I kind of describe a flashback a bit like touching a portkey and you get kind of sucked in and transported from one place to another. And I think when you start to feel yourself going, there were ways of kind of grounding myself and keeping myself in the kind of present space. So it was just learning how to manage it, really.
That sounds really interesting. I think with stuff like this, it's such an individual experience, isn't it? And obviously there's always those common symptoms and things that a lot of people with a similar experience might feel. But I think this is what interests me so much when it comes to mental ill health and just general well-being, is that we all have such individual experiences. And you mentioned your manager making those arrangements of like you moving desk, which sounds like was really good and really helped. What do you wish employers knew about trauma and PTSD?
I think I wish they knew the kind of, like you said, that the spectrum of ways that it can affect people. And I think also being more accepting of the kind of things that cause PTSD. I think a lot of the time we think about PTSD in terms of frontline services and soldiers and people that have witnessed all sorts of horrific things, but it's very individual to the person around what constitutes trauma for them and their own personal levels of resilience and of self-care and coping. So those are probably the things that I wish they knew.
And how do you think employees can broach these conversations? Where did you find that courage for you personally to speak up?
I think part of it was my employers noticing changes in me and opening that space for us to have that conversation. So just that, are you okay? No, really, are you okay? These are some of the things that we've noticed. And I think that, like I said, provides a safe space for people to go, actually, I'm not. And then I think part of it also was getting that additional support within the workplace through counselling through the employee assistance program and having that kind of, I don't want to say validation, but that kind of backup of that kind of medical professional saying, actually, it's okay for you to need these things and to ask for these things, and just giving you the confidence to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's that, you know, that I think I completely agree. I mean, having struggled with my mental health myself and really that having affected me within the workplace, being able to access that counselling, being able to have that employee assistance program is so crucial. Because even if you think from a socioeconomic background, there might be a lot of people that might not be able to afford things like therapy. Mm-hmm. So to have that provided to you in your workplace and making that access to, you know, healthcare, because that's what it is, it's healthcare, mm-hmm. is absolutely vital and unfortunately not something that everyone has. So it's really positive actually to hear that you had such a good experience with the support that you received at work, and also from your GP, because, you know, you also hear some horrific stories of people having had really negative experiences approaching a medical professional. And like you said, just getting that validation, getting someone telling you it's okay, you know, other people feel this way too.
Yeah.
You're not making it up. It's not your fault. It is normal. It is common. I think that just really, it makes a world of difference, I think. So you've talked about, obviously, the employee assistance plans. You've talked about being able to spot those signs and broaching that conversation and just making those safe spaces. Is there any other things that you feel employers should be providing?
I don't know if it's necessarily about providing, although it is. I think before you get to the point of providing something, you need to ask the question, what do you need? Because you can go into these things with the best of intentions and say, we can do this for you, we can do that for you. But if it's not actually what the individual needs, it's not going to help. And so I think being able to ask that question, being able to mean it, and to follow it up as best as you can to support that individual, I think is, you know, the most supportive and the most important thing an employer could do for a member of staff.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. I think, you know, it's just been so interesting to hear things from a different perspective. And it's, you know, I really so appreciate your time today. It's really been such a nice conversation to have, and I've learned so much, and I think I'm definitely going to be much more aware of the people around me, and also that realization that trauma and PTSD isn't just for those maybe, you know, stereotypical events that we always assume it is. So thank you so much, and thank you for sharing your own personal experiences as well. Do you have any final thoughts you want to leave our audience with?
I think it's just really encouraging people to get help as soon as possible. Please don't wait as long as I did, because it took me longer to recover because I didn't go in and seek help. I understand sort of how difficult that feels and how scary it can be. But the moment you take that first step, it gets easier from there. So I think that that's the most important thing for me, is just encouraging people to speak up, speak out, get help.
Awesome. And before I let you go, do you have any events, any projects coming up that you want to shout out about?
I think I'd just like to give the book one last little plug. The book turns a year old on the 10th of October, World Mental Health Day. And we set ourselves a target for the first 12 months of the book. So £2 from the sale of each copy of Connected goes to Lancashire Mind. And we'd really like to have raised £500 for them within our first year. So we're just a little bit shy of that target. So we're reducing the cost of the book down to £10 if you order directly through me via LinkedIn. And we can get you a copy of that and support a great cause.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Gemma. It's really been a pleasure. Thank you for your time. We'll definitely have more of these conversations, because it's been absolutely incredible. So thank you so much.
Thank you.